the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany. Today is February 5th, 2006. We'll be reading from the St. Andrew Missal on some commentaries on the Epiphany season. The fifth Sunday after Epiphany. Called through pure mercy to belong to the mystical body of Christ, we must in our turn show mercy to our neighbor, since we are made one with him in Jesus Christ. Even in the church, such unreserved charity is a difficult matter. It requires perseverance and patience, since in God's kingdom, here on earth, there are both good and bad, and it is only when our Lord comes to judge men, as described in the last Sunday of the temporal cycle, that he will separate the one from the other for all eternity.
Okay, I got to explain what that means. That's getting cut out because let me say first, then you can go read. Because what the Lord's saying in there, you don't let evildoers stay in the camp until the judgment, you know, and cast them out. St. Paul says if your brother's a fornicator, in 2 Corinthians 5:11, to cast them out and don't even eat with them. If any brothers walk in disorderly, not according to traditions which they receive from us, do not even separate yourself from him. That's a false interpretation. That's what happened in this with Sunday Catholics. He let the most infamous adulterers and sinners stay in the camp and stay in the church in communion with other Catholics and destroy, like St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:6, a little leaven corrupted the whole lump. So what is our Lord really saying in that passage? We know he's not, because even our Lord said, if your brother sins against you, reprove him. If he does penance, forgive him. He's not saying that we're supposed to put up with obstinate sinners. What he's saying is that two things. First of all, within the church itself, you're going to have evildoers come in. The devil's going to sow cockle. And that means even within us here. So we consecrated this house to our Lord. It's our Lord's house and Our Lady's house. That's all fine and good. And that's going to give us tremendous protection. But it's not a guarantee. If we don't keep it holy, with their help, if we don't cooperate, this house will become unholy and they will leave the house and abandon us like Rome, mm-hmm. like Vatican City's abandoned. And like the temple in Solomon's day, even though it was consecrated and God said, I am with you, when they finally became obstinate and rebelled against God, he left the temple. But what you do get when you, like where we are right now, we can see the help God gives us. When you consecrate a home to Mary and God, you have such special protection from God that he'll come in and kick your behind all over the place to get you to do right, like he's done to us in his purges. If we don't do right, after God exhorts us, and he'll come after you a lot because you consecrate his house, if you keep stubborn and you don't listen to what God's telling you, after he gives you all this special extra help, then he will leave you. Mm-hmm. He will abandon his home, and then there will no longer be a holy place. It's no longer under consecration. So that is just to protect us against a false confidence, but also to let people know how much help you really do get. We've seen it since we've consecrated ourselves to our Lord and our Lady. God doesn't let us get away with nothing. Mm-hmm. He steps down and helps us in such a miraculous, powerful way. He doesn't do this to other people. You got to be in the church, you got to be Catholic, and you got to have good intentions, and you have to have a place consecrated. But that's not a guarantee. And also, this idea, he's telling us, the devil is going to try to sow cockle in amongst us. We've seen it already. And that's why God's teaching us to be vigilant and cast out the cockle. It doesn't mean in there, wait till the general judgment at the end of the world before we can condemn anybody who's an evildoer and cast them out. That's non-judgmentalism. What you just read in that passage is bad. Because it's telling people, you have no right to judge anybody. Our Lord does all the judging. Let the pig stay in, the obstinate pig who's fornicating with everybody or watching pornography or listening to hard rock and roll, let him stay amongst the camp and infect all your children. Wait for God to weed out the cockle. That is horrible, non-judgmental interpretation. It's a Protestant interpretation. It's not what our Lord meant. What he meant was, cockle's going to come into the camp. And in the beginning, we've done this. Don't rashly make a judgment, rashly. If you start to see that your brother's doing something wrong and you suspect it, don't right away cut him off until you test him. Mm-hmm. Give him some time to grow up and to see how bad the cockle is, to see if it's obstinate. First of all, you may even catch him in a fault or a venial sin or even a mortal sin. He's cockle, yes, but is he going to listen to what you're going to say? If he does penance and confesses his sin, then forgive him and let him stay amongst you because he's no longer a cockle anymore. He wants to be good. Mm-hmm. So God's saying, don't make any rash judgments, okay? First of all, you may be weeding out the wrong people in the beginning. A guy might be indicating to us something that's bad, but maybe we're misjudging him. Mm-hmm. We don't have all the evidence. So what God's saying, before you weed out any cockle, make sure you got all your facts right. So a guy comes walking out of a bar and he trips over a rock and you think he's drunk. Mm-hmm. I seen Rich coming out of a bar. First of all, what's he doing in a bar? Mm-hmm. Now, I might have been going in there to witness to somebody. Mm-hmm. Or I wasn't getting drunk or anything. And then you see me stumble over a rock. Then you say, Rich is cockle. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a drunker. You know, stuff like that. You better make sure what God's saying here is, in the beginning, it might be hard to tell. Mm-hmm. When the cockle gets obstinate, and when it becomes very bad, it's easy. Mm-hmm. You can lop it right out. Mm-hmm. Then, but he's not saying, wait, the harvest time is when it's ripe. When it's ripe. And when is a person ripe for being kicked out of the camp? You catch him doing something wrong. It's very bad. He's a drunkard, and you do catch him, you know, and he continues to drink. And he's coming to mass drunk. You smell booze on him all the time when he's in his mass time. During the day, he's drinking and all that. You catch the guy. He's not listening. And he's being obstinate. After you've rebuked him, and everybody knows this, it's now public, he's infamous. He's now infamous. It's now, he sticks out, in other words, like a sore thumb. That's ripe. Mm-hmm. He's ripe for the picking. That's when St. Paul says, don't even eat with such a one. He says, if anybody be named a brother, be a fornicator, an idolater, or a drunkard, or a railer, or an extortioner, with such a one, not so much as to even eat. And there's that other verse where he says, if any brother's walking disorderly, separate yourself from him, if he's not walking according to the laws. That's when the cockle becomes ripe, and there's now no doubt that this guy is cockle. And not only is he cockle, he's obstinate cockle. He will not allow us to, and God, through us and his brothers, to chastise him, and he will not get right. Mm-hmm. That's what our Lord says, a little infection corrupts the whole lump. Mm-hmm. The misinterpretation of this passage is another one all the non-judgmentalists love to use, mm-hmm. and they have to throw out a multitude of other verses to try to support it. I mean, you're actually telling us we have to let every time... Say somebody comes in here and starts chanting voodoo stuff and during Mass. I mean, don't wait for the general judgment. A guy can come into Mass and he can start shouting out blasphemies in church. All right? According to their interpretation, let the guy stay in the church. You have no right to judge him. You know, that's non-judgmentalism. Mm-hmm. That's what you just read in this 1945 missal. These people were bastards going way back how long now? Mm-hmm. I'm sick of, we grew up on this trash. Mm-hmm. This lousy, mm-hmm. rotten, dirty, non-judgmental trash mm-hmm. is what we grew up on. And we spit it out long ago. We're not going to swallow it no more. Mm-hmm. I read something like this, it makes me sick. And it's not even according to common sense, that interpretation. I mean, everybody, even in pagan societies, have a sense of some order mm-hmm. in which they keep rules and laws. So that's what our Lord's telling us here, to us, warnings. Yes, this house is God's house, it's Mary's house, and they've proved it to us, because when we do wrong, they say, this is my house, not yours, I'm going to kick your butt all over the place until you get right. But because we have a free will, if we don't get right with God, he's only going to do that for slow. He says, okay, Richard, I tried whatever I could, I now leave in the house, and Mary's leaving. Bye, we're going, and we're no longer going to help you. You can just, the place is going to turn into a sinful pigsty spiritually. Mm-hmm. So, the idea that the devil's always going to try to get into us with cockle. Then the problem becomes this. And this is what God showed us. He's proved it to us firsthand experience about the purges that Mary has done with our own sins and faults and with those of others. And showing us how to deal with the cockle. First of all, once it's obvious that somebody is cockle, you better admonish them. And you better get on top of it. Alright? Don't go with this non-judgmentalism. If the person listens to what we say, okay, then he's repenting. Don't cut him off, because then you're sinning against charity. Who are you to not forgive your brother? You have your own sins that need to be forgiven. Who are you not to forgive your brother's faults? Because he has his own faults that needs to be forgiven. As long as your brother is willing to try to overcome his faults and he has a good will in that direction, fine, that's what counts if your brother does penance. Then that person's really not cockle, because he's admitting what he did was wrong, and he's confessed his sin. And he's trying to get himself perfect in that area. But when we get a guy in here like that one brother who wanted to listen to hard rock and roll, mm-hmm. the satanic Metallica stuff, and he refused to tell us it was evil, mm-hmm. I kick this behind out right away. That's ripe cockle. That's ripe and obstinate. It's not just ripe, it's obstinate. Mm-hmm. It's obstinate. He would not listen to us. He said, well, you're not going to bring this in here. And that's harvest time. Mm-hmm. So the harvest time is not just at the end of the world. The harvest time, because this is God's pasture on earth right now, God directs this flock. He's our leader. He's our shepherd. He does the pruning right here and now. Mm-hmm. And he says, when something grows up, and then we know it's cockle, rebuke it and see if he's ready to become non-cockle. And then if he's obstinate and he's not listening, then he's ripe for the cutting. Cut him, as Augustine will say, sever him, He's now like a severed limb, you know. He's at least, if he's immoral, he's still in the church, but he's not in the state of grace. He's on the road to hell. So that's the proper interpretation of that. It should also keep us on guard, as we already know, about any cockle that the devil's going to oversow in our Lord's vineyard over here. And we have to be very vigilant on jumping on it right away, kicking the people out, first for the sake of our own souls, because if we don't do it, we're going to hell. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to go to hell for nobody else's sin. I got my own sins I got to work on and faults. I don't want anybody else coming here and bringing their sins in here and infecting me with something I had no idea on that particular sin. I wasn't even thinking of doing it. We let that person stay in here, we share in his guilt. Mm-hmm. And then we let him infect the rest of the community. So this passage today just proves that, as we know from reading the history and the Word of God, that no matter how holy you can be at one time, you know, we got to redo it. Like Solomon, the temple and everything, you know, it was God's home, mm-hmm, that you can go back. So God's showing us. He's showing us, God, I don't care how holy you guys think you are, or even you are at one moment, you got to stay vigilant. Mm-hmm. You always got to be aware. You always got to be aware of sins of omission. Keep your eyes open. That's why I always love the good verse, 2 Corinthians 13:5-7. It says, try your own selves if you be of the faith, mm-hmm, lest perhaps you be reprobates. This goes back to our abjuration. The first thing in which we have to try one another is in the faith. How can we let anybody in here and say he's Catholic because he bangs on the door and says, hi, Rich, I'm a Catholic. Yeah, so what? Prove it to me. What do you believe? Who are you? Who really are you? Right? And when somebody tells you, I don't got to tell you what I believe in, get out of the house quick now and don't come back.
That's right.
Because anybody who's not going to tell me what, even a Muslim who's convicted is going to be more than open to tell you what he believes in. Allah's great. Oh, what about Allah? They're going to go crazy telling you what they believe.
Right, right.
A Buddhist is going to tell you what he believes. A Catholic, this is what we run into. They're not even telling us what, I don't have to tell you what I believe. You know you don't, but if you don't, you're not Catholic. Because you're not. Your obligation to press the faith, yeah, get out of here, turn your tail and get out and don't come, yeah, back. And that's why, how else do we try one another if the, yeah, first thing is not specific abjuration? Yeah. And boy, have we not found out why they don't want to tell us.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
they believe God created homos. Because they believe in contraception of NFP. Because they believe Muslims worship the true God. Because they believe Jews can get to heaven. Because they believe in one of the heresies. Yeah. But the first thing that they're committing right there is a sin against the Catholic obligation to profess the faith. If you don't even want to tell somebody what you believe in, then I'm telling you something. You ain't Catholic. You, mm-hmm, deny the obligation to profess the faith. And that's our, St. Paul says, admonish one another in there. But even when your brother comes into the church and he's got the faith, we have to admonish him if he's leaning very closely to mortal sins, he's going to mortal sins, even that we have to do. So the idea here is, as not, we're not Protestants, you know. Protestants believe if you believe in Jesus, you're going to heaven, even if you're cockle. You know? You could come in here, and you could be fornicating. You could, and I got a couple of the good verses for us to memorize, too, on Galatians 1:7. It says, he says, there are some who pervert the gospel. There are some who pervert the gospel. You use it too, Galatians 1:8.
Yeah.
Who preach another gospel. Well, who are these people? If Protestants, it is possible to pervert the gospel. Okay, well, look at all these Protestants. Who is it but the Protestants?
Yeah.
Their whole theory of soli scriptura, like in pray to the Holy Ghost, and he tells each individual Protestant what it believes, that's perverting the gospel. Mm-hmm. There's no rock. Also, the other one is 2 Corinthians 2:17. St. Paul says there are, he says, we are not as many, adulterating the word of God. Mm-hmm. Adulterating. So we got private interpretations, adulterating the word of God. But all of these things here, we have to watch for anybody that comes in here. The first thing we do, abjuration. Mm-hmm. We don't let nobody come in here and pray in communion with us if they're not Catholic. Mm-hmm. And that's specific abjuration. And they have to be living they cannot be in obstinate sins, mortal sins. Obstinate mortal sins, of course. Other than that, yes, we all have faults and sins we got to overcome. We don't want to make rash judgments. That's what our Lord meant. And we see that. We give people a chance. Mm-hmm. Let's find out what this guy believes in. We haven't heard from him. Did he get our letter? Mm-hmm. The one guy we were trying to contact, it turns out his email was no longer active. Mm-hmm. And then we found out that he really was with us. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. Yeah. Be careful. Don't make rash judgments. That's what our Lord's saying. And in the beginning, you're not going to know somebody's cockle if he's sneaking. Mm-hmm. Or if he's not that convicted in what he's doing. He's hiding his sin. Because he's ashamed of it or whatever reason, even if he's an infiltrator. Even then, you still have to wait till the cockle shows itself. And then you have to give the cockle a chance to repent and listen to what we tell him. And then if he doesn't do it and he's an obstinate cockle, then the sickle comes right away, he's out, and that's harvest time. Mm-hmm. So, okay, that's it. finish on that.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.